As we move into 2015, I love new beginnings. I love having a new year. I love a new start. I love being able to leave behind the old. I didn't pump anybody. I didn't prime the pump. All those prophetic words about moving on and don't looking back, it was very good, right in the theme of where I'm going this morning. I didn't tell her anything about the word or any of the other prophecies. Look at what the Lord has done. He's weaving together something for us to listen to, church. Amen. The joys, the triumphs of the last year, we give thanks for those. The fears and the failures, we let go of as we move into new beginnings. I want to say something. I'm concerned about something, not just here in our midst, but in general. I read, anybody ever read the Barna studies? Barna studies, he's a spirit-filled Christian and a dedicated Christian, but he's one of the most important research companies, or they have one of the most important research companies in the United States, and they come up with all sorts of different things. And I was reading the latest one just recently that talk about in the last decade, just in the last few years, 10 years, the number of people who believe the Bible is the Word of God has plummeted. The number of people who believe that the Bible is simply another book among many has skyrocketed comparatively to previous generations. There's something that I believe is happening that's in our nation and around the world, and it's called an epidemic. You've heard lately about the flu epidemic, 15 deaths, and they're calling it an epidemic. This strain of flu is not exactly the same one that the inoculation is beneficial for, but they're calling it a flu epidemic. But I believe there's an epidemic of unbelief, an epidemic of unbelief. And we have to guard our hearts lest we become subject to that same spirit of unbelief. Church, we've got a God who's here with us, who loves us, who wants us, who says, come forward with me, look at me face to face, quit looking back at the shame of the past, receive my mercy, receive the blood cleansing, and let's move on to new beginnings. Amen. Year and a half ago, 2 years ago, in my office, I went over to some consider the dark side, and bought an Apple desktop computer. But I've had to retain the old. Because much of real estate is still lined up with the PC. And what's crazy is I bought a brand new copy machine, high-speed copy machine, color copier, fantastic. And yes, you have to download the drivers for your Apple. It'll work perfectly. And guess what I have to do? I have to make sure my old PC is set up and active and picked up by my Apple computer for me to scan to my Apple computer. I have complained vociferously. And they're moving fast on it, kind of like thick molasses on a sub-zero temperature day. But I had to retain the old in order to swing on the new. But you know, I got to be honest enough to tell you. You know what the real problem is, don't you? The real problem is the tyranny of the urgent. Because life is full and I'm in a hurry. So instead of really dealing with the problem, if it works enough, I can get through. Come on, don't look so holy at me. Is life at all like that for any of us? If I can get it to work, I don't want to take time to fix the old. We'll just make it work. But I got to tell you, Dan and Roxanne will know what I'm saying immediately. Many of you will. I probably had 20 blue screens on my PC. 20. That's the kiss of death on your PC. I've gone back to restore files. I've done it all, you know. You do it all. And it's seen its better days. So I bought a new computer. And being quick, I sat on my desk for 2 weeks. I haven't even taken it out of the box. Life's full. Even at Christmas time. I like gifts. Wrap, 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 unwrap, unwrap. And it's just sitting there. Tyranny of the urgent. So there's a thing that I've had to do with that PC. How many know what it is? Reboot. Rebooting. Now, what that means, you can do a soft or what's called a soft or warm reboot. And that's when, if you, in your computer, you go to the restart button. And you hit the restart button, the computer says, I know what you're doing. I'll shut down this software. I'll take care of this. We got it. We got this. And it goes down and it comes back up and sings to you again. But a hard or cold reboot is very hard on a computer and on the inner workings. But you got to do that if it freezes up. And that's shut the thing off manually. And it goes, and then comes back and goes. And I've had to do that many times. But thank God, there's something in our lives called grace. And so Jesus comes to us and he says, I see you got a glitch in your software, Kev. Now, if you'd like to, we'll let you do a soft or warm reboot. If you let it go, I'm going to have to give you a cold restart. Blue screen, sin, repent. Oh, no, it's just fine. And pretty soon the whole world shuts down. Now, anybody ever experienced that in the Lord? Come on, three honest people. Okay, very good. The rest of you, let me explain what it's like. You go to the Bible, read about people who repent. Anyway. So, but it's true, and it's like life sometimes. And the old phrase, Pastor Carl, you know, he was a craftsman, and some of you who work with stuff, he was kind of a generalist, but he could be very specific. He knew a lot of stuff about a lot of things, but he had this sign up when we were building buildings. He posted this sign. Why is there never enough time to do it right, or to measure, what was it? Measure it right the first time, but there's always time to do it over again after you've blown it the second time. It may, you know, measure twice, cut once, measure once, got our cut twice. And the whole point is, why is there time to have to do it over again? When the bottom line is, I live with this low-level frustration, this problem, and I don't want to take time to deal with it. Life's full. And Jesus says, we got new beginnings here. It's time to, let's get rid of the old. Remember, in the Bible, it says, get rid of the sins that so easily beset and focus on Jesus. Turn your eyes on him. Get rid of the old. And so as we go into a new year, I want us to believe and receive in 2015. And stop an epidemic of unbelief. Let's be about the business of rebooting. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Sometimes rebooting is where we're needing to be. All right, number one, know who you are. I'm going to give you a couple of simple points this morning. Know who you are. Can you write that down? Know who you are. And Pat, I do have notes for you. And overheads. Thought you had a morning off, didn't you? Thank you so much. Know who you are. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes. Those of you who have been with us since we have talked about the book of Philippians, there's about 10 messages online called Philippian Faith. And I want to refer back to Philippians for a moment here this morning. There's a Roman colony that Paul came to called Philippi. It's pronounced differently, but it's the way we most commonly pronounce it. And there were citizens in this colony of Philippi. Now, Acts 16 gives you your context for this, which had occurred here. Paul wanted to go into Asia, if you recall. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit forbade him. And can you imagine Paul's passionately trying to get anywhere he can go to preach about Jesus? Do you think it probably took some strong shutting of doors for Paul to be forbidden to go somewhere by the Spirit? And so he probably went to bed that night a bit frustrated. Lord, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do what you want him to do. And the Bible tells us and records that the Lord came to him in a dream. And remember what he saw in the dream? A man from Macedonia beckoning him, saying, come over here to help us. Now, Macedonia is in Europe. And this was the first recorded instance of the gospel being taken to Europe, into Macedonia. Because Paul gets up and Paul concludes, this must be the plan of God, and quickly goes about it. But now let me give you some context for where all of this is taking place, because this is crucial. When Rome had overcome and conquered most of the known world, and when they did so, what did they build, church? The most incredible roads and road system that the world has ever known, the Roman roads. Many of them still in existence today. And as it goes into, I believe it's the Ignatian Way into Macedonia, Paul would go in and he would choose communities to center in that were dynamic communities, a center or a crossroads of economic life, activity, other people coming together, whether it was a shipping port as in Corinth or some of these other places. They were dynamic locations. Philippi had been a place where there had been fantastic mines and gold mines. Now, by the time Paul gets there, they were pretty well exhausted, but it had been a place where commerce had happened in the known world. It was a very, very important spot. But there was one other thing that had happened there. When Rome conquered an area, they would take 300 soldiers and send them and their families to this outpost, and they would set up a colony. And that was Philippi. It had had hundreds of thousands of people probably, and it's one earlier point. But at this point, this is a Roman colony, an outpost. So you've got Romans roads, and I really will come back to all this. It all ties in. They're Romans roads. It was easier for the gospel to be spread at this time on those Roman roads than it had ever been in human history up to that point. God saw fit to send Jesus at such a time as that. How many know God knows exactly what he's doing? In just the right time. How many know he sees you and knows your need and comes and helps us at just the right time? Now, how many also, kind of like me, wish he would hurry it up sometime? God says, I'm in charge. Cool. Cool your jets. So the Romans one road. What else had happened? Another context for all of this, by the age of 29, Alexander the Great had conquered, previous to this, most all the known world. An incredible general who died stupidly, I think of some disease he caught, and maybe it was even malaria or different things like that, but he tried to extend his influence so far, but he was an incredible general. Now, I'm not saying good, I'm just saying an incredible general. But what did he accomplish as he conquered all these lands? One main thing that changed the world. Language. The Greek language became the common denominator over the entire world. Never before had there been such a time in human history where you could speak one language no matter where you were, and virtually everybody would pick up on what you were saying. So all of these countries had their own languages, but if you were going to get along with those who had conquered you, you had to learn their language. And guess what? Jesus came at such a dynamic time. So when the gospel was preached, it was never an easier time than that for apostles and disciples to travel the known world and spread the good news about Jesus on roads that were easy to travel and where a language could be commonly understood. It's incredible. One other thing happened that made it doable, and that's the Pax Romana. How many remember the Pax Romana? Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. So wherever they had their territories, they extended by force and authority peace, which meant overall apostles and disciples could scatter the known world, preach the gospel in a language that could be understood, on roads that could be traveled, in relative peace. It's all dynamic. Guys, I don't know if any of that makes any difference to you. That's just crucial. Jesus knows right when to come and do things, and that's the status of the world when the gospel is being spread more than at any other time in history. He knows. I just am fascinated by stuff like that. And so that's what happened. Now, listen to the colony of Philippi. Hang in there with me. This is really crucial. If you've heard it before, be rehearsed in the truth. These colonies had one characteristic in mind. Wherever they were planted, those 300 soldiers and their families, wherever they went, they were dynamically, fiercely, independently, stubbornly, no matter where they were, Roman. They wore Roman dress, they spoke Roman language, they followed Roman customs, they did Roman holidays, their magistrates went with Roman law. No matter where they went, they were dynamically, stubbornly, fiercely, independently Roman. They would never have thought of incorporating themselves into the culture and into the country where they were. That was Philippi. And Paul takes that picture and he says to the Christians, and you are a colony of heaven. No matter what you're doing, where you are, that word colony, Philippians 3 verse 20, says you are citizens, colony, commonwealth. You are people of heaven. Just like you see these fierce independent Romans, you're set aside as a colony of heaven on the earth today. Are you all with me?
Yes.
It's all vital and crucial to understanding the heart of God. Acts 16, let me just give you one verse. Acts 16, 20 and 21, two verses. You can hear Roman pride rife in these verses. When they bring in Paul and Silas and they say, these men are Jews and they're trying to teach and to introduce laws and customs which it is not right for us to observe. Please read the next phrase with me. For we are Romans. You see the context? What are these guys doing? They're trying to convert us to something different. We're identified. We're Romans. And Paul says, guys, I want you to see that picture. And that's a picture of who you are as Christians in the earth today. It's dynamic. Watch this. No matter where you are, you belong to Jesus. Our conversation, our community, our citizenship is in heaven. And in this letter, there's no rebuke really in this letter. This is a letter of thanks to his people, but he does give them several thoughts about how to reboot their lives. How many would like to reboot your life into a better way in 2015? Yes, sir. Me too. Number one, as we go into this, it's actually number two, but know what you believe. Number one was know who you are. You're a new citizen. Like the Roman colony, you're a citizen of heaven. Number two, know what you believe. Know who you are, know what you believe. And I've got 3 points for you, simple points, under this section. Number one, the right philosophy. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, For to me, to live is what? Is Christ. To die is gain. Watch that out of the New Living. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. No matter what, no matter what happens to me, on earth, I'm God's property. Come on, say it with me. I am God's property. Say it again. I am God's property. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, church, it's a ruling philosophy of life as you become a Christian. I belong to Him. I'm His. I'm His ambassador on earth. I'm part of a different colony. I'm part of the citizenry of heaven. I'm not a part of this earth. I'm a part of Him. No matter where I go, no matter what I do. That's why when you give your life to Jesus, It's not just a quick 30-second prayer on a Sunday morning and you compartmentalize your life. That's my Sunday self, and now I have my Monday through Saturday self. How many know that's not true? Come on, say it with me. Oh, no. Come on, say it again. Oh, no. There's my 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, dedicated to Jesus, surrendered self that belongs to Him. I'm His. If I turn to you quickly this morning and said, okay, cease, who owns you?
God.
Okay. Jeannie, who owns you?
Jesus.
All right, let's, who owns you? Come on, turn to each other and say, who owns you? And answer the question for each other. The right philosophy. This is a philosophy of life. Do you hear it? Do you understand? It's a whole resonant part of your being. Watch this. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. And I'm going to read it from the New King James. Then I'm going to read it out of the Message. These all, this is the Hebrews 11, is the hall of faith, if you will, the heroes of the hall of faith. And he goes on and on talking about Abraham and all the rest of these people. And then he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them. Remember last week in Manasseh, where we talked about how Manasseh probably had Isaiah sawn in half, put him in a log and had him cut in half. And you go to Hebrews 11 and it says, and some were sawn asunder. Probably speaking of Isaiah and others who had suffered for their faith. These saw the promises far off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed what? That they were what? Please boom it out with me. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. How many looking forward to heaven someday?
Yes, where the roses never fade.
How many are looking forward to bringing heaven on earth as much as you can today? Watch it out of the Message. Each one of these people died, these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way, just only passing through. There's another old song, right? Just passing through. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back any time they'd wanted. But they're after a far better country than that. Heaven country. You can see why God's so proud of them, and He has a city waiting for them. Church, in Christianity, the retirement plan is awesome.
Yes.
I was reading the paper on Wednesday. I do this almost every time I look through the paper. And after a while, I finally stopped and I turned to Sherry and I said, I don't fit in. I just don't feel like I fit in. You know, somebody talked last week about Christmas Eve selection or day of our paper all about a clairvoyant on the front cover. It was a huge article. I didn't even try to read it all, but this gal's laying out tarot cards and telling the future, and there's palm readings, and there's all sorts of stuff, and people giving their lives to this and that. And I sat back, and there was a sorrow in my heart because I don't fit in. She looked at me with a smile. She said, well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Doesn't mean I'm not salt and light to that community. I am. And I'm called to love everybody in that community. Not separate myself out. But you know, guys, we live in a way that confuses our neighbors. Now, some of it might not all be because of Christianity. But we live in such a way that confuses us. Why don't you go drinking with us? How come you don't like to join in the gossip? Why don't you like to run around and do this? Well, that's fine. Live in such a way. Love them, but tell them about Jesus. Because you've got the one they need. The answer for life, His name is
Jesus.
God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Why do you even mess with this? Why do you stick together? We live lovingly for Jesus, and we don't backbite, and we don't gossip, and we don't love for the gossip and rip apart our neighbors, and we don't deceive, and we don't try to hurt each other. Sometimes if we do, we get to repent and reboot. They need who we have. Psalm 37, verse 1. Don't fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Out of the Message. Don't bother your head with braggarts or wish you could succeed like the wicked. Proverbs 24, 1. Don't be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. Don't envy, out of the NIV. Don't envy wicked men. Don't desire their company. Proverbs 24, 19 and 20, New King James. Don't fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. There'll be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. We were praying for somebody this morning. Again, God, save this person before it's too late in their life. Out of the NIV, don't fret because of evil men or be envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future hope. And the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Church, the world needs our Jesus. Amen. Come on, say it with me. The world needs our Jesus. Shift your thoughts. Don't desire what they have, but give Him a way to them. The right philosophy. Doesn't matter if you and I are rejected. What matters is that we have Jesus and they need Him through us. Number two, the right mind. Number one, the right philosophy. Number two, the right mind or right thinking. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus was a servant. He humbled Himself and He gave His life away. Jesus didn't live compartmentalized. I'm here to heal you today and then don't show up the rest of the week. I can do what I want the rest of the week. Well, you know, pastors have to read the Bible every day. We don't. Pastors have to be on every day. We don't. That's why we pay them. They're pastors. Church, that's not Christianity. We're all 24/7 Christians. If you have adopted an I'm part-time at all in your life, it's time to repent and reboot.
Amen.
Because you want your computer to work anytime you want it to work. Yeah. And when it's frozen up, hard reboot. Yeah. In our lives, Jesus wants to come to us and say, I got an assignment for you. Oh, you're frozen. If you're frozen, Jesus looks at you and says, what are you doing frozen? I've got coal and fire inside it. Well, what happened to the fire? Reboot. Good news is, He forgives us. And He cleanses us. And we get the yuck thrown away. And we get to start again. And He comes back and goes, okay, time for the seven. Oh, good. I love that. Screen's up and running. Oh, look at those colors. You're doing great, pal. You're rebooted. Have we slipped? We're all full-time Christians all the time. What about reading the Bible? I want to go back to that. What about reading the Bible every day? Listen to what the Scripture says. I hide the Word of God in my heart. Remember in Psalm 119? Why? It goes on to say, that I might not sin against Him. Study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy, 2 15. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to put the part in here that says, pastors, you're supposed to study to show yourself approved. Oh, doesn't say that, does it? Says all my family, study to show yourself approved. Be in the Word. Love the Word of God. Live in the Word of God. We break it down to a daily portion so it's readable. Yes, we're starting a new NIV study Bible, and I've already had a couple of people saying, there's a lot of stuff in here, a lot of text notes. There is. You can read as much as you want, but there's a lot of extra stuff that tells you stuff about the Word, and it's great. But whatever Bible you choose to read, read it. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. If you have extra time, take extra time, read the notes, but read the Bible. You want more of the right heart attitude, more of the right mind, more of the right thinking, more of the right... And if you don't have it, reboot. If your thought is, I'm part-time, don't need to read the word, reboot. Love the Word of God more than you love the Seahawks. More than you love your favorite TV show. More than you love the internet or that movie. Feed yourself on the promises of God. If you're having trouble with wrong thoughts or discouragement or temptation or sin, reboot. Repent. Get back into the Word of God. The right philosophy, the right heart setting, and the right mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. And thirdly, the right prize. The right prize. Philippians 4, 13 and 14, some of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible as we start a new year. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't taken on all the good things of God. I haven't changed enough yet. I'm not completely like Jesus. He's not done with me. It's not fully soup yet. But one thing I do, and you heard it in the scripture or in the prophetic word this morning, all through it, I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I forget the things that are behind. I reach forward to the things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the what?
Prize.
Who is the prize?
Jesus.
I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Out of the NIV, brother, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Out of the new living, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Out of the message, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I got my eye on the goal. Come on, say that with me. I got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. You know, it's really an interesting thing. Sometimes people consider life so complicated. You know, it's not really. It's just a matter of priorities. Life's not that complicated. It's just a matter of priorities. Maybe you've chosen another prize or other prizes that split your heart. Maybe you pour a lot of energy into stuff that's not giving you the eternal reward that you want, need, and desire. Simplify your life. Choose your top priority. Doesn't mean you can't do anything. I'm not telling you to become a monk or a chipmunk. But Paul's life was like a laser. Paul's life was like a laser. He lived to please Jesus. He got in trouble and he kept going. He was stoned and left for dead and he kept going. He was beaten and thrown in jail and he kept going and singing praises. He was shipwrecked and he kept going. Why? Because he wanted to please the Lord. He loved him so much and was so grateful for what God had done for him. He said, I got one goal and I want to reach Jesus. Jesus is my prize. I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim on this earth, but he's the one who captures my heart. He's the one I want to live for. He's the one I want to believe and receive in 2015. So, Lord, wherever I have areas that aren't of you, I choose to reboot because it's going to bog me down. It's going to freeze me up. And I won't be as responsive to you as I should be. I press toward the prize. Paul knew and spoke like a track star. Others, he was like a boxer, and still other places he was like a wrestler. And you got to remember, Paul was living in the day of the Olympic Games, but also the Olympic Games and the Corinthian Games. Remember, in Ephesus, there was a huge amphitheater. 100,000 people could sit in the amphitheater The Olympic Games were held there at times. And Paul lived in Ephesus for 3 years, and it's got to be hard to believe that he didn't see the games, because he used the sports analogy that we could all refer to. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is not some earthly reward, some laurel leaf around the head that fades, not some white marble stone with our name as an invitation to the emperor's parade or ball. It was Jesus. Paul went full bore for the Lord. Salvation's a free gift. Salvation you receive by grace. But someday we will face God and give account for our lives. And we will have opportunity to thank Him for His cleansing blood that washes us clean, and for the many times He was gracious to reboot us when we caught ourselves up with a worm or a virus or an infection called sin. And we'll thank Him for His mercy, but we will give account. Did we reach the prize? And His name is Jesus. He has a destiny for you and for me this morning, and most of all, that destiny is to see Him, to become just like Him as a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. So know who you are, know what you believe, have the right philosophy, have the right mind, have the right prize. Let's be about the business, shall we, of rebooting?
Yeah.